Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number, of course, is 877-876-7445. We're on every night here on Phil TV and HD and streaming all across the country, great radio stations. People ask sometimes, well, Phil, where can we hear a good solid stream of the show? Because sometimes they're not in an area where they can hear us. And I say, all you got to do is go online, take a look at our affiliates. And there's so many of them that live stream the show nightly. And there's some very, very good live streams of the show, you know.
Yeah, like, well, what's one?
Well, I mean, I don't want to single out one, you know.
Well, but a lot of people do have. They're going to find out what's a good one.
Well, I don't want to single one out, okay? Do you mind?
Well, okay, so you tell them there's a good stream, and they got to go look for themselves?
Yes, they're going to have to go look for themselves, because I'm not going to pick one over the other. You know, I mean, if you want to hear the show, you can always log on to philhenryshow.com, get a backstage pass, and you can watch it and just turn the video off or whatever.
How do you do that?
You just minimize the video screen. You can listen, but you're going to have to listen to it off of your computer. But you can listen to a live stream of our show on any number of great radio stations on the Phil Hendry massive, massive network.
Like what?
Will you shut up, bud? I'm not going to say.
WWRL?
Yeah, that's a good one. All right, so Margaret Gray is joining us. We also have Larry Grover. We're going to have a roundtable debate on gun control. And tonight, we're going to work it a little differently. We're going to have more liberals than we would conservatives. Oftentimes, our roundtables have skewed the other way. We've had a liberal and two conservatives. We're going to have two liberals on the line tonight, Dean Wheeler and Margaret Gray. And our conservative, of course, is going to be Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County as we talk with them online tonight about the gun control debate. And let's get up on the line here. Larry Grover. Larry, good evening, sir.
Good evening, Phil, and thank you for the opportunity to speak to the American people on this.
You're welcome. And Margaret Gray has also joined us from Santa Margaret.
Hi, Phil.
And Dean Wheeler from Northern California.
I'm right here, Phil, and Amarella's with us as well.
So your wife is there?
Yeah, we have Emeralda here, and there's a number of reasons for that. I don't think you want me to go into it.
Okay. Tonight we're going to be talking...
Can I say something, Phil? I just want to ask you, Dean, is it because you said something the other night that a lot of people haven't forgotten, and that was you haven't hit a woman since you got out of jail.
I wasn't going to bring that up.
All right, hold on for a minute. I don't want this to get out of hand because I want to talk about one thing. I understand that was a big... You know, a comment that was made, Dean.
Well, if he made that comment, I think I'm already probably 10 points ahead in this debate. I can't believe that a dyed-in-the-wool liberal.
I'll say this. I did say that to Emeralda because she was a little bit out of line the other night with the Hopi dance troupe as we were attempting, Phil, to do the steel walk.
You were doing the steel walk, and you said to her that that you didn't want to hit her because you hadn't struck a woman since you'd gotten out of jail, and I just wonder what that meant.
It's a fair question.
So now it's a fair question, huh?
Yes, sir, it's a fair question. If you guys are going to get stuck on this, Dean, you might as well answer her.
All right, I really don't appreciate being ambushed like this.
I don't think I ambushed you at all. I think what I'm asking here is a question that is of import to Phil's listeners if they're going to give you any credulity. Credulity.
I've heard the word credulity. You don't have to spit it at me like I'm deaf.
I'm not. Excuse me.
No, we know what the word means, Margaret.
Well, not everyone knows what the word means.
I know what the word means. Larry Grover, Ms. Gray.
Yes?
I know what the word means.
And I do, too.
All right. What does it mean?
Are you asking me?
No, I'm asking Dean. What does it mean? What does credulity mean?
I'm not going to be tested this way.
All right, well, that means...
All right, we're not going to do... Margaret, you're not going to run the show tonight. You're not going to run the show tonight. I'm going to run the show.
Phil, I am not trying...
I'm running the show.
No, Phil, I'm not going to be tested by anyone tonight. I'm going to answer questions that if you want me to answer the question why I said what I said... then I will.
Yes, we want to hear the answer.
I will be the one to decide whether we'll hear the answer, and it just so happens, yes. Go ahead.
That's exactly what I just said.
I know that, and I'm telling you, I'm concurring.
running the show here, you know. Yep.
I'm running the show, Dean.
Okay. The reason why I said to Emerelda the other night, I haven't hit a woman since I got out of jail, is because it's true. Since I left I was in the San Mateo County Jail for 90 days, and that was in 2001. When I got out of jail, I had been inside because I had been remanded for, they were going to send me back to New Jersey.
And for what?
For possession of heroin. I had skipped bond, I'd skipped bail, and they were, I was going to be extradited back, that's the word. That was, I was waiting to see if you'd get the word. Well, you didn't know what the word was, did you?
I didn't think she did, Dean.
Yes, I knew what the word was. I knew exactly what it was.
Anyway, you were in the San Mateo jail. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was in San Mateo jail for a heroin charge. I had for skipping bond in New Jersey. And my attorney worked out the details of a settlement. We went to the DA in New Jersey, the district attorney in New Jersey, and the attorney general in New Jersey. And
how old was this heroin rap?
It was from 1974.
You were a different guy then.
I was a very different man then, Phil. And I was living out here, not under an assumed name, but...
So that's it. So you were in jail for heroin possession.
No, I was in jail because I was on the warrant. And
well, I mean, six and one half a dozen. There was a warrant for you for skipping bail, and it was a heroin charge. And so what happened?
I had a very good lawyer, and we worked out a deal with the state of New Jersey, where I did 2 years, and that was, and then I got time off for good behavior, and I had to pay a fine, and so I'm okay now. And that was, I got out of jail in 2001, and when I went in, I had beaten, I beat up my girlfriend when I went in. And that was when I got arrested. That was for the heroin. I beat up another girlfriend when I got arrested. I beat up about three or four different women. One of them beat me up. I mean, it's...
What kind of a tale is this, Mr. Henry? I had no idea. I don't want to be on the radio with this man.
Oh, come on, will you? We're talking about years ago. The story is nuts. And we're not even into what it is we want to talk about, which is the this debate on gun control. Here's a guy that's been in jail. You beat up a girlfriend. How many women have you supposedly beat up?
Mr. Henry, I had no idea that I was going to be talking about this.
Well, you better start talking about it, pal, because it's fascinating to me.
And me. When I was arrested, you have to understand that I was one of the biggest heroin dealers in Weehawken, in New Jersey, and I was a pretty good player in terms of heroin, and I was arrested by the New Jersey State Police for a major possession and distribution and everything. At that time, my attorney told me that I was looking at a lifetime behind bars, and that's when I skipped on my bond and I came to California, and moved here and changed my life, turned everything around. I met Emerelda. Then I got arrested when the warrant came up, and I smacked, it wasn't Emerelda, it was another girlfriend that I was cheating on Emerelda with. I smacked her around because I wanted to beat up Emerelda, but I didn't, I love her too much.
Oh, I see. So you beat up the girlfriend.
Well, you had to beat up someone, so was her. Yes. I mean, you sound like you understand. I do.
Oh, boy, this is great. This is rich. The two liberals. She's been beat up. He beats up women.
You know something? Maybe it's because we've lived a little bit.
Yeah, I bet you have lived a little bit. I bet you have lived a whole lot because of all the money you made on your heroin drug sales and everything like that.
Can I finish?
Okay, yeah, you can finish. Then we got to take a break. This is bizarre.
Anyway, I went inside. I went back to New Jersey. I did 2 years. In the deal that my attorney worked out, and
since you got out of jail in 2001?
2001, yeah.
You haven't beat up a woman.
That's right.
Well, my hat's off to you. I didn't know the story.
Oh, my God. Your hat's off to him now. He beat up... How many women did you beat up?
Well,
how many women did you beat up?
Probably about a half a dozen.
A half a dozen, and your hat's off to him.
Yes, it is. I'm sorry. Was that a woman that fell?
Hold on. We've got to take a break. Tell that tell up Margaret to clean her act up, will you?
Yeah, you hear what the guy said about beat up women?
Yes, I heard. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back here with Margaret Gray, Larry Grover, and Dean Wheeler, and we're going to talk about gun control, and we're going to get off this whole thing about Dean having been arrested for heroin possession back in the 70s. God.
Phil, I am sorry. I had fettuccine with a cheese sauce.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the Phil Henry Show. Margaret Gray, Dean Wheeler, and Larry Grover. I'm going to start this debate off. We're going to be talking about gun control. I'm going to start the debate off here with Dean, since you've been through some tough times here.
Mr. Henry, this is Larry Grover. Why are you starting with him?
Larry, I've had a night full of arguing. And a week full of it.
I'm just asking, why are you starting with him? You just got his little tale of heroin possession, arrest, escape, fleeing a legal bond. Why are you starting with him?
I'll answer that question.
I didn't ask you, Mr. Wheeler. I'm asking Mr. Henry.
Well, it's because I think he feels that I've got a very good view of law enforcement.
That's a good, good assessment.
Oh, I see. Because the guy's been to jail? Because the guy was arrested for...
Let me just run the show, Larry, or you can take a hike.
What did you just do?
All right, let's grow up, huh?
No.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. You deserve it. I have to concur with that.
Well, the two liberals would go, Hey, right there. Everybody listening in America, listen to the two liberals going, You hear that?
Yeah, I do. I agree with that.
Okay, everybody done with the ha-ha?
No, I don't think they are, Phil. I think they need to ha-ha some more, which is basically them humiliating me.
No, Mr. Henry said that I could go first. Yes, he did, because Dean has practical experience in the penal system.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great that you've been to jail. At any time I need to get some information on what it's like in the jails of America, I'll just ask a liberal. Go ahead.
Are we going to... Is this...
No, that's all right.
Go ahead, Dean.
Phil, my feeling is simply this. We can't have these weapons any longer. We can't do it. We can't have it. Now, I have three reasons why I feel the way I do. Number one, these weapons are out of control. Number two, they kill. And number three, how are we going to control these weapons that are killing people? I feel these three points there are three points that I believe we should think about. I know they sound as if they're the same, but
they sure do.
Hold on, Larry.
You know what? When you start talking, I'm going to yell when you're talking.
No, Mr. Henry said I kept my mouth shut.
Shut up, Larry.
Thank you, Phil.
Go ahead.
These three, the weapons that we're talking about, the three points are as follows. They're dangerous and need to be controlled. Number two, these weapons are intended to kill living things. And number three, they are dangerous. Okay. And the third point really reinforces the first.
All right. Well, they need to be eliminated.
I think I can expand on that, Phil.
No, I want to hear from Larry. I want to kind of alternate between liberal and... But you're saying here, Dean...
Well, I can expand on that. I don't need your help. Oh, well, okay. I was going to help you because it sounds like you do need...
I'm talking to Dean right now. Dean, it sounds to me you're right that you are reiterating some things. When you say they're dangerous, yes, they are. My question is, why do they need to be eliminated? Do we not have, as human beings, the ability to understand the danger of these things?
Well, Phil, look what happened the other night.
But what I'm saying, I don't want to get into things. See, a lot of it has to do with the mental state of the person that owns the weapon, don't you think?
Well, I don't want to talk about mental state because that means that, you know, right now we just know that they're bad. They're really bad. When you start talking about mental state, you are taking the debate away from the gun and you're putting it into some woo, you know, heebie-jeebie, woo-boo, you know. It's really weird, you know.
What are you talking about, heebie-jeebie?
Well, you know, who knows? When we say that the guns are dangerous, that is very clear, and everybody knows that it's true. But when you start saying that maybe there's the mentality of a person is wrong, then I think you're getting a little, you know, let me have another drag on that before you throw it away.
And what is so weird about talking about mental health?
Okay, so now you want to talk about mental health when before that Obama proposed it, you didn't want to.
And no, I've always been in favor of national health. I've always been in favor of it.
That is true, Dean. I've heard Phil say that. Well, okay. But I think a lot of people...
No. I believe that national health is important. I think national mental health is very important. And as a matter of fact, I would think that a gun rights advocate like myself, I believe in gun rights, would be in favor of national mental health care because, hey, look at what's... This is something that we can control. We can make these people either well or institutionalize them or something.
Well, you're never going to get no conservative to think that way, and that's just how I feel about it. And if you do, then it's too much to hope for. It really is. I say we just take the weapons, and in the words of Lynyrd Skynyrd, throw them into the bottom of the sea. I thought that was very, very good. It was very, very, very well said. I thought, well, are you being sarcastic?
Yeah, she's being sarcastic.
No, I am not being sarcastic. I'll do it again. Hey! Yeah, I thought it was wonderful.
Okay, fine. All right, Margaret, we're going to go to Larry Grover now.
I was next.
No, you're not next. Larry Grover is next as we continue this discussion. Larry, go ahead.
All right, Phil, thank you. I'm Larry Grover. I'm with Conservatives of Kern County. And before you interrupt, Ms. Gray, I'd just like to say I'm saying that so people know who I am because you and Mr. Wheeler have dominated 20 minutes of this conversation.
Hold on for a minute. I didn't say anything.
All right, let just... Shut up.
Why did you...
Shut up.
Why?
Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, thank you, Phil. I'm Larry Grover, and I am the chairman of Conservatives of Kern County. As a conservative, I've been a lifelong gun rights advocate, as Mr. Henry just so intelligently put it. And as being a gun rights advocate, that means I believe that we have the right, we have the responsibility to bear arms. I don't just think you have the right to go and use a weapon if you so need it. I think you should, and I think you must in the times we live in. The terrible occurrences that we see happening around us as the result of the use of a gun has nothing to do with the gun. It has to do with the idiot, the mental case, the mental deficient, the weird ass, whatever you want to call them, that had got a hold of this thing, all right? To that end, not only should we have the right to bear arms, you better. And to that point, I believe that we need to institute in some way, Mr. Henry, mandatory gun ownership. And I know it sounds radical. And
you got to be kidding me.
Oh, my God. Are you crazy? Well, hold on for a minute. I'm talking to Mr. Henry. I'm not talking to you people. Well, my God, you have to answer for a jackass opinion like that.
That is really jackball of you. And well, what's jackball about it?
Mandatory, you want to enforce gun ownership?
Yes, yes. I want people to be forced to own a gun and be forced to know how to use it legally and properly. Only then are we going to be able to protect ourselves. And to be perfectly honest with you, Mr. Wheeler, if you feel so bad about things... and you feel like you can't take it any longer, well, you'll have something very convenient. And
I'm going to dump that. That is...
My God, I never thought I'd hear anything like that before in my life. And
Mr. Grover, I will not have that kind of conversation.
All I said was...
Again, I had... Okay, so you want me to hang up on you?
No.
Okay, then enough of that.
Oh, my God, I've never had nobody say to me... the things that he said. And, well, Dean, I will tell you this. As a fellow liberal, I think that you do sound a little depressed, and I think the fact that you beat women up it makes me a little less sympathetic. Do I think you should shoot yourself? No, I don't.
All right, we're taking a break. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
What?
Phil Hendry. Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, and Dean Wheeler, along with Larry Grover and Margaret Gray, as we talk about the gun control. All right, so I've got Dean. You believe that these weapons need to be removed, no matter what they are. It doesn't matter.
Phil, I don't think that these weapons should be left in the hands of private citizens. They are far too dangerous.
And no matter what the weapon is.
No matter what the weapon is, it is dangerous. Of course, I believe that you should have the right to defend yourself. But you do not have the right to defend yourself to the extent that you use a weapon that can kill someone. And I know that that sounds stupid, okay?
Yeah, it sounds stupid.
And, well, I'm not done here yet. I know it sounds stupid, but it's the best that I can come up with in the 25 minutes that I had before I knew I was going to be on your program.
Well, we had called you. We called you a full day ago.
You called a day ago?
Yes.
Who did you speak with?
I guess we talked to Emeralda.
You talked to Emeralda. That's the last person. I got a 25-minute heads up. Emeralda, honey? Emeralda, honey?
All right. Now, Dean, why do I think you're going to smack her?
I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I am not. I can tell you right now, Dean, if I hear you hit that woman, there'll be no place you can hide. Now, I'm not going to do anything wrong.
Yeah, but I concur with that, and I can't stand either one of you.
I'm not going to do I'm asking my Emeralda, did the Phil Hendry Show call?
Yes, it did.
The Phil Hendry Show called when?
I called yesterday.
He called yesterday? Then why did you tell me at whatever it was, 9:30, that they wanted me for an interview?
Oh, it slipped my mind.
It slipped your mind. So I'm on his show right now, sounding like a stuttering, mumbling god. I want to do it.
Yeah, he wants to hit.
All right, Dean, don't do it.
Do you feel like hitting her? I do. I got to hit her. Don't you hit her. Don't you do it.
Dean, don't blame your wife, okay? You should be well-versed in this topic.
It doesn't make... I can be as well-versed in the topic as I want to be, but if she doesn't tell me, it'll be on your show. Phil, let me pick up here, because obviously Dean's in no shape. I don't know why. I've heard him on your program before. I think emotionally he has absolutely... He does not have what it takes to deliver an argument that needs to be delivered. May I?
Go ahead.
Phil, you know me. I've been in liberal circles for many, many years. I'm a writer. I travel in those circles. I know what those people are thinking. I know what I think. And when it comes to gun control, I think we are all agreed. Yes, they must be controlled. Yes, they must be at some point eliminated. But there has to be, at some point as well, a elimination, if you will, or an incarceration of individuals that irritate or otherwise impede the discourse. I'm speaking right now, because he's at hand, of Dean Wheeler. Now, I don't want to shoot him, but when he whines like a woman, and I am a woman, but when he sounds like more of a woman than I, when he is, want us to feel sorry for him because he had to beat up women, when he tells us about his heroin arrests, when he whines like a bitch.
I guess she lost it, huh?
Margaret, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm just going to conclude by saying this. When he whines like that, boy, I can't think of anybody more deserving of a bullet.
You heard what she just said.
You heard what she just said. Yes, I did.
You heard it.
Okay, I did hear it, and it was out of line. Way out of line.
Well, I'll tell you something. I understand where she's coming from, because your conversation with Mr. Wheeler, because you beat up women and now you want guns to be, and when your wife didn't call to Phil Henry or tell you about the Phil Henry, my wife didn't call Phil Henry. Phil Henry called my wife and said that I'm going to be on a program. All right, then if Mr. Henry said you should have been well-versed in the topic, I would know what you're talking about. Well, I'm not, okay? All right, well, what does that tell you? It tells me this. It tells me that I need some time to prepare.
Oh, God, listen to that.
It does. I want to prepare.
All right, Dean, I'm going to let you go.
Why?
Because, you know, emotionally, you can't take it. You really are bothering me now with your whining.
Oh, green. So
And I'll tell you this. I'm going to check the police reports tomorrow. If I find out that you're smacking anybody around, I will volunteer my testimony and services to the police in any way, shape, or form to have you thrown back into jail for good for beating up women.
Mr. Henry, I am a liberal, and that's not even it.
Well, no, you're not a liberal. Just because you sit cross-legged and chant ridiculous things.
Oh, Michael, what do you mean ridiculous?
Didn't you say that your mantra was balloon? Didn't you say that?
Yes, because that is the way to unlock the reservoir of potential. Oh, forget it.
Okay, well, that's good. That's one down, and I hope not two to go. Margaret Gray and Larry Grover are left, and that's fine with me. That's about the last that I want to hear from that man.
I think he's very emotionally distraught.
Well, no kidding. You know, the guy is obviously not able to cope with this forum, Mr. Henry.
I don't think he should be on debates. I've talked to Dean one-on-one where, yes, he sounds like a complete weird-ass, but he doesn't lose it. And, you know, that's what we heard here.
Well, Phil, you know, the things that man admitted to tonight on your program.
All right, so we found out that he had heroin arrests, that he was extradited to New Jersey, that he cut a deal with the attorney general there, that he came back to California, that he got, you know, he's been smacking girls around since the 70s, but he hasn't done it since 2001. I'll give him credit for that, but I don't trust him any longer.
If he comes on with the wife, you know.
I heard the broadcast you did the other night where you had the native, the native Indians.
Native Americans, man.
Native Americans.
All right, Native Americans. And they were dancing and singing and howling up a storm or whatever, and Wheeler had to tip them, what, $50 a dance? What was that?
I don't know what that was. I don't know what that was. I had no idea.
Well, it was some kind of a Native American festival, and he wanted them to be there. For the interview that he was... I know what it was. It was the steel walk.
Yes, he was walking on hot steel.
Walking on hot steel. There you go. There you go. That tells you everything you need to know about that weird ass. Walking on hot steel, huh? And then the next thing you know, he's tipping the Native American... And I looked in your show log. Well, what was the name of that group?
Well, apparently it was the Bob Running Bear and the Adobe Boys or something.
Yes, it's the Country Western group.
Well, then what were they doing? Indian chants?
Well, they're an entertainment troupe. I don't know where Dean got them. He probably got them out of the entertainment section of the Yellow Pages.
I thought they were an authentic tribal dance group.
Well, yeah, they are Native Americans.
But they're a country western group.
Yes, they're country western. And Dean hired them and told them what he wanted. And I talked to Bob. Bob Running Bear is a friend of mine. And he said, yeah, sure. We can do that, so I don't know.
So he got conned. That guy is all kinds of bad, man. He's all kinds of weird. All right, let's sum up here. Larry, go ahead.
All right, well, my summation is I've done a lot of debates, Phil, on gun control. I've never been involved in one as wholly and completely disjointed as this one. I don't think we ever really did get into substantial conversation about it, and that's fine with me because the liberals you had on the show tonight, Ms. Gray and this Wheeler, they're the ones, they dug their own grave, they hopped in, and they waved the dirt in after them. That's how I feel about it.
Margaret?
Well, that was a very interesting summation. I'm not going to sum up anything that happened on the program tonight, other than to say, yeah, hello to Bob Running Bear and the Adobe Boys, and you did a great job the other night with Dean. And I don't know why Dean is stupid, but he is. He's a little bit stupid. I'll say that I believe that guns should be outlawed, but not until we force individuals like Dean Wheeler And if he ever breaks the law, Larry Grover, we force them into a cage where we can keep an eye on them.
In other words, you believe in the police that have guns?
Well, more than that, I believe that not only the police, but I believe that somebody like Wheeler or anyone that has or exhibits these kinds of irrational symptoms, I'd like to put them, at least hold them at gunpoint and force them into a cage. You hear what I'm saying?
I hear you.
All right, so you want to preemptively...
Preemptively incarcerate, yes.
Regardless of whether they've committed a crime, and let's not outlaw the guns until we do that.
Exactly.
So obviously you want civilians to be able to do that.
I want a limited militia state, yes.
And you're a liberal.
What do I look like? What am I doing? Am I talking to myself? Yes.
Well, all right. It's not a weird question considering what you just said. You want a limited militia state to put guys like Dean Wheeler in a cage and then get rid of the guns.
Yes.
Wow, I almost agree with that.
All right, well, I don't, and I think that this evening has come to a screeching halt here with our debate, our discussion, more likely, of Dean Wheeler's mental state, the fact that he was arrested for heroin possession, the fact that he hired what he thought was a Native American dance troupe and was actually a country western band called Bob Running Bear and the Adobe Boys to play, you know, Indian, Native American rainmaking music. I don't know. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and what are we going to have next hour?
News and information.
Oh, news and information hour, that's right, sorry. And I thank Margaret and the rest of them. That was a big, fat load of nothing.
Why?
That we didn't figure anything out. I'm not going to go into a debate on gun control with three people that are emotionally underdeveloped.
Well, but Wheeler, man, you know, the other two, I don't know.
I thought that if Dean Wheeler pulled it together, he'd be the very intelligent.
You thought if Dean Wheeler pulled it together, he'd be very intelligent. One of the problems that we've got in this show is we keep, you know, these people that we bring on as experts, they've got real problems, real mental problems, you know? All right, one of the things that we like to do here from time to time on the Phil Hendry Show is take a look at our front pages. And as you know, I've often... I think I've told you guys, especially in our News and Information Hour, say, well, we have our front page of the New York Times because my good friend Brian Glicklick got me a Christmas present a number of years ago, 100 years of the New York Times front pages. And so what I do with our Phil TV and HD audience is we look at the front pages of the New York Times on this date in any given year. Earlier in the night, we're looking at, and the date that we are using, since we kind of straddle 2 days here from the West Coast to the East Coast, we're looking, though, at Thursday. Today is Thursday the 26th, although we're still kind of in Wednesday night, you know.
What do you mean?
In other words, 3 hours ahead, it's the 26th on the East Coast, all right?
Yeah, well, what about like Mountain Time?
Mountain Time is 12:40, so it's groovy, baby. We're the only guys that are still in yesterday, okay?
Who?
We are! God! Anyway, it is the 26th. So I'm looking at here, July 26th, 1913, and
why that date?
I don't know, man. Because we were on 1933. So let's go back 20 years. I don't know. Quit asking me these questions, or I'm gonna, you're gonna be the next guy that they lead into a cage right behind Dean Wheeler.
Yeah, man, you have to share a cage with Dean Wheeler.
Shut up. Think if you think I'm butt, you know, if I'm butt friendly, and
will you be quiet? All right, so looking at this, we have front page New York Times, the 26th of July, 1913. Wilson stands pat. President Wilson was dealing with the Mexican Revolution. And we were standing with the Mexican government at that time as the Mexican rebels were looking to overtake the Huerta government and establish a new Mexican democracy, which they eventually did do. So the U.S. A little bit on the wrong side here in 1913. I don't think that the entire revolution was, I may be completely wrong here, but I believe that the outcome was in favor of the rebels. And see how I don't know my Mexican history. That's kind of embarrassing.
Well, yeah, you do. You're telling me about when you went like motorcycle riding in Baja.
Yeah. What's that got to do with Mexican history?
Well, but I mean, it was history. It was back. It was way back.
Because I went motorcycle, but just because I went riding on dirt bikes in Mexico in the 70s doesn't mean that that's Mexican history. That's what I did in Mexico in the 70s.
Ain't that history?
My history. Mexico ain't got it written up any place. And it's in this state, Phil Hendry rode a Husqvarna across the sand dunes of Baja. Now then, there were other stories on the front page of the New York Times. And guess what they had to do with? Police and murders and suspected murders of police officers. Or was it a suicide? A whole thing going on in the New York Police Department in 1913 having to do, here's a story, police called dead comrade a suicide. There was an officer by the name of Cahill who was found dead. They thought he was the victim of burglars. The police said, yeah, that's what they thought. And then further investigation indicated, no, it wasn't burglars that killed him. And now the police were suspected of having killed the man. And the cops now say, no, it wasn't a burglar, it was a suicide. And so Dan and I are sitting here thinking, well, corrupt cops of the past would often call suicide a case of police homicide. And we're wondering now whether this poor man, this Officer Cahill, 1913 New York, was murdered by fellow bluecoats, as they called them in those days, for some reason. Here is another one. Hamilton's chum himself a suicide. This is another New York police thing. The old cottage home of Robert Hamilton has claimed its third victim. The first victim was the son of General Sebastian Hamilton of New York and was the central figure in an 1860 scandal. Now they found another body, who apparently was a New York City police sergeant, and he's dead in Wyoming.
What's that mean?
I don't know. They were using the cottage as a vacation home of some kind, or a vacation spot. Guy's a New York City sergeant, police sergeant, and they find him dead. And comes another murder story that has nothing to do with the police. Plot to murder me, says Sulzer, pointing straight at Tammany Hall. He says he will have Whitman investigated. He won't be frightened off. So here's a guy that he said they were trying to kill him because he's investigating Tammany Hall. And if you know anything about New York history, you know that Tammany Hall stood for and still does stand for corrupt city politics. This man, no longer will the legislature furnish the battleground for Governor Salzer's war on the horses. As far as the governor's concerned, that body is done. Anyway, this guy Salzer, who is the governor of the state of New York, said that the Tammany was trying to kill him.
Man, that like saying the mayor of New York trying to kill the governor.
Yes, pretty much like the mayor or whoever these guys were that running Tammany Hall in those days, trying to kill the governor. You know, you can only get a really good idea of how much better, and I know that that's relative. I understand that it's relative, you know.
Who's relative?
Relative. Relative as in it's relative. You meaning you have to live, just never mind. Just never mind.
Yeah.
Just never mind. So, yeah, sure, today we bitch and moan and, well, oh my God, the country's on the verge. You gotta, the emails that I get from people and the comments that we get from people saying, boy, it looks like this is it, man. Yeah, we're on our way down the crap hole now, man. Oh, will you relax? And look at this, man. Look at what people had to put up with back then. Cops getting killed. Cops killing people. Some guy, Mexican Revolution here. What if there was a revolution going on in Mexico right now? Man, we wouldn't stop wetting our pants. We wouldn't. If there was a Mexican Revolution going on right now, with all the ability to communicate, it would be in our laps every 5 seconds. We'd be sweating bullets. So here is the city of New York, and yesterday, which was very interesting, yes, it was the 25th, and we were looking at a headline for the New York Times in the 20s, and there were race riots.
Well, you're talking about that.
There were race riots going on. The headline was Negroes Riot. And if you look in this article that was in the New York Times Nowhere in that article was there any mention at all of what the rioting was about. Today, that would top the story. Back then, the story was all about how the police were going to put it down, how the army was going to put it down, who was breaking the law, who did this, who did that. All this stuff about a Negro broke in. They had this whole thing about how a Negro broke into an apartment.
Yeah, shit, it's a Negro broke into a white lady's apartment. Ha, ha, ha. Shut up, man.
Hey, watch it.
Boy, kid.
All right, bud. Yeah, it was very biased, very racist reporting. It was the reporting of the day. It was the reporting of the times. All they cared about in those days was, what did you say? Some Negroes are rioting. How are we going to put it down? And that was the whole article. Today, and as well it should be, the article would have a great deal of information as to what started the riot. Why are people upset? All right, we'll be back with more from our news and information file here next hour. World famous Phil Hendry Show and Phil Hendry Show. .com. Woo-hoo.
Phil Hendry.